The eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello and welcome to Speaking of History. You're listening to a podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. My name is Eric Langhorst, and I'm recording this podcast on May 23rd, 2007. And this is episode number 83. Well, good evening. Tonight I'm going to share a presentation with you that I went to last week at the Truman Library. The Truman Library is in Independence, Missouri, which is about 20 minutes south of where I live in Liberty, Missouri. And the Western Civil War Roundtable was having a featured speaker, John Dillingham, a local historian, speak about Alexander Doniphan. Alexander Doniphan is a famous local figure here in Clay County, particularly in Liberty. He lived in the 1830s through like about the 1860s, primarily here in Liberty, and is actually one of our more probably noted people of history, as far as Liberty goes. Jesse James gets a lot of attention because of some of the things that happened in our local area. The first bank robbery they had was here in Liberty. But as far as real accomplishments, I think that Alexander Doniphan would have to be our most notable historical figure. The presentation is going to talk about some of the things that Doniphan did during his life, but did many, many things as far as education, a very important military leader during the Mexican-American War, and also saved the life of the Mormon prophet Joseph Smith. So a very important historical figure, and I think that Mr. Dillingham did an excellent job of really bringing together a lot of important facts and information about Alexander Doniphan. So I hope that you enjoy learning more about one of our more famous local citizens here in Clay County, and particularly Liberty, Missouri. Here's a presentation on Alexander Doniphan by John Dillingham.
You've probably read a little bit about John Dillingham. He is a fan of the Northland country, and also he and his family have been very instrumental in the American Royal. You've probably heard the Dillingham name in that sense. He's also served on the Clay County Historical Board. I do want to mention, I just got on the email today the fact that the Clay County Museum and Historical Society are having their annual picnic on June 10th at Mount Gilead School, which is near Kearney, starting at 11 a.m. We have a few copies of those flyers, so if you enjoy going to the Mount Gilead doings, I think you would like to pick that up. John has also worked with other civic groups south of the river as well. He's a former member of the Kansas City Police Board, also a former chairman of the Missouri Community College Foundation, has been a director of the Command and General Staff College Foundation at Fort Leavenworth. He is an advisory director of the UMB Bank Northland and of the advisor funds of Waddell and Reed, and led the effort to name Missouri Highway 152 in Clay and Platte County in memory of Alexander Doniphan. And I didn't hear whether the lady from Doniphan, Missouri arrived. We're very glad to have you. Would you mind just standing? I think you probably came from the farthest. Doniphan, Missouri is way down in South Missouri. When General Sterling Price came over the border to start all that nonsense about the Battle of Westport, he came through Doniphan, Missouri. And this lady who's the director of the Current River Heritage Society, or some such name, I forget exactly how it goes, said that Alexander Doniphan was never in Doniphan, Missouri, but a young man who had served with him was so impressed by him, and his father was a mover and shaker, and so they decided to name the town after Alexander Doniphan. So with all that, John, would you tell us more about Alexander Doniphan?
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity and honor to be here tonight as a guest of the Civil War Roundtable of Western Missouri, and for perhaps the first time a meeting here in the Truman Library. Mike, as president, you're very fortunate to have Beverly Shaw. Her follow through for months, it seems like years, has been unbelievably tremendous. Tonight we're going to introduce some of you for the first time to Alexander Doniphan, known by his friends and family as Will, to us a citizen soldier, a lawyer, an orator, a legislator, an educator, and to the Mormons, a savior. So who is Doniphan? Why would I from Clay County be asked to speak on this man born 200 years ago next year? If you believe in fate or are curious about unusual situations, may I submit the following to set tonight's stage. First, Doniphan's father was Joseph Doniphan, the first teacher at Boonesboro, where my dad's third great-grandfather enabled me to be a member of that society, both there at the same time on the Kentucky River below Lexington. Recently, I visited Doniphan's grave in Fairview Cemetery in Liberty, where, to my surprise, I find in the adjoining family plot my great-grandfather's close friend, regimental surgeon John Marshall Allen, whose name our family now carries, and his brother D.C. Allen was one of Doniphan's closest friends. Recently, as I stood on the Missouri Speaker of the House dais several weeks ago in Jefferson City, knowing that in an earlier Capitol building, my great-great-grandfather in 1858, waiting for a national civil war to break out, fueled by our border wars, served from Clay County in a seat occupied by Doniphan 3 years earlier. They must have known each other. And lastly, speaking here tonight, the coincidence that Doniphan's grandfather, who also was named Alexander, perhaps his namesake, born in 1716 and died in 1768 in Stafford, Virginia, he had a younger brother named Anderson Doniphan. The two brothers' father was Mott Doniphan, so Mott would be the great-grandfather of Alexander Doniphan, but also the fourth great-grandfather of Harry S. Truman. So, standing on this stage the week after the president's 123rd birthday, is it fate that this first ever meeting is featuring a distant cousin? Our friend Congressman Ike Skelton likes to remind me, every chance he gets, that Doniphan was admitted to the Lafayette County Bar in 1830. There's a bronze and granite historical marker to this effect next to the street on the site of the old courthouse in Lexington, which to all of us is east of the current downtown. But in 1833, he moved to Liberty to join David Rice Atchison, later the first circuit judge of the New Platte Purchase, the first United States Senator from Western Missouri, and later acting President of the United States for one day. I understand Peter Burnett was a member of the firm, or very close, later the first governor of California. So to me, not too shabby of a law firm north of the river. So again, who is Doniphan? Where does one start for a man who died when Harry Truman was three? Well, Missouri boasts of some 30 generals with a strong connection to our state, a majority during the Civil War. What if I told you the Dictionary of Missouri Biography and a recent book by the University of Missouri Press list the most famous as Alexander Will Doniphan, Governor or General Sterling Price, President Ulysses S. Grant, General John J. Pershing, and General Omar Bradley. From the Mexican War to World War II, not bad company. Missouri Life said recently, in his era, he was a superstar. Doniphan led about 800, I've heard, Clay Platt ragtag men on a 3,500 plus mile land track and another 1,000 by water, the first Missouri Mounted Volunteers, to victory in the Mexican War in 1846 and 47. Rumor has it that he read the books on infantry tactics on how to be a general, borrowed from his commander during his trip south. Remember, he was an attorney, not a West Pointer. He defeated larger Mexican forces at El Brazito and Sacramento and occupied Santa Fe, El Paso de Norte, and Chihuahua. Always the lawyer, he led the committee during a month-long stay in Santa Fe that created a new government for the New Mexico Territory by molding legal concepts of Spanish, Mexican, and U.S. law to create a new code which, I understand, is the foundation of today's New Mexico Constitution, and paved the way, while he was at it, for the annexation of the territory that became, to us, New Mexico and Arizona. All of that in 1 year. For these heroic military efforts, since the troops assembled and left from our neighbor Fort Leavenworth, General Doniphan hangs in the Fort's Hall of Fame, along with our nation's greatest, for leading the perhaps longest march in U.S. military history. This includes being next to my good friend Colonel Roger Donlan, they're alphabetical, the first Medal of Honor winner recipient in Vietnam who does live in Leavenworth, and also General Robert Arter, who may or may not be here tonight, a very good friend from Leavenworth. On a lighter note, I learned on Doniphan's victorious return that Major John Doherty provided from Multnomah, in which for you today is the location of the new Staley Farm development, he provided 2 buffalo for a big barbecue. So I called my friend Ollie Gates upon learning this very important news to suggest that the first barbecue in Kansas City was obviously in the Northland. His reputation as a leader formed back in the 1830s. While in his late 20s, and this is hard to imagine, all these things happening to a 20 and 30-year-old, he served on the committee that later saw congressional approval of the Platte Purchase, adding 6 counties west and north of Clay County to the Missouri River. I heard it's the only time in U.S. history where Congress added onto a state. Also, Doniphan played an important role in the state as a freshman member of the Missouri General Assembly in 1836 by ratifying this congressional action. I understand his early legal work, since Asheson, his partner, was getting occupied, was right here in Jackson County on the so-called Mormon problem. I'd like to inject that Missouri Governor Boggs issued the infamous extermination order of all Mormons in 1838, and not until 1974 under Governor Kit Bond was it lifted. I told my good friend Tony Sarver, who's nice enough to be here tonight, that with tongue-in-cheek, that obviously here in Missouri it was legally open season for 136 years. In the later years, Doniphan and Acheson both competed for the United States Senate at the Lexington Convention as Whigs and Democrats. But as 25-year-olds, they hunted and fished together, gambled in tavern with friends, and saw each other in court. Acheson organized a Liberty Blues militia company. Doniphan was an officer too. They drilled 3 times a week, marched around in the sun for a while, and then settled down for a picnic, and as it was said, not just a little drink, according to one source. Both men were retained by the Mormons for assistance in their Jackson County problems. With their lands taken and followers forcibly driven out, Doniphan led an effort of compromise, and as captain of the aforementioned Liberty Blues, provided court appearance, physical protection for the saints. Even though only partially successful, he was approved and hired again after the Mormon War of 1838. When the Mormons came to Clay County from Jefferson County and Jackson County in 1834, he spoke for reason against mob violence. He later joined with Acheson asking the Mormons to leave Clay County to avoid civil strife. And in 1836, again in the Missouri General Assembly, introduced a bill organizing Caldwell County out of the northern Ray County, as we would know it today, as a place for the Mormons to live. One observation, personally, if successful in a parallel to the removal of the Indian tribes of Platte, a so-called Mormon reservation would be created and Platte would be free for the non-Mormon settlement. Donovan later recalled that the Mormons broke their agreement and formed a settlement in Davies County, and it was interesting to me, reportedly there were 10,000 Mormons in 1838 in this area, which to me is a very, very large population at the time. Acheson, now commanding general in northwest Missouri, called out 400 Clay and Platte men to quell the disturbances in Davies County. The Clay County commander, Donovan, was sent to Caldwell County to secure Mormon prisoners' release. And following a very friendly chat with Joseph Smith, the Mormon prophet, and success, he also secured releases in Davies County. All was quiet for a few months, according to Le Sueur in the Mormon War book. But in the fall, as Mormon soldiers prepared to march, Donovan rode to Far West with 60 men, but his advice for calm was not followed. Governor Boggs mobilized the state militia, replaced Acheson with General Joseph Lucas, and ordered the Mormons exterminated. Donovan prevented Missouri soldiers from shooting Mormon prisoners. A rump court-martial ordered the execution of Joseph Smith and other leaders. And General Lucas ordered now Brigadier General Donovan of the mobilized state militia to carry out the order at 9 a.m. the next morning. And Donovan answered by note, "It is cold-blooded murder. I will not obey your order. My brigade will march for liberty tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And if you execute these men, I will hold you responsible before an earthly tribunal. So help me God." I have to add at this point, Beverly, pardon me, some personal levity. It's a real conflict of interest asking a lawyer to execute his client. Today, the historic Liberty Jail in Liberty is a shrine operated by the Latter-day Saints that tells the story of Joseph Smith and the five Mormon leaders who were saved because Donovan refused a direct order to execute these leaders. I think one can safely say the church was saved for the worldwide mission we see today, not only the LDS, but here in Independence with the RLDS, now the Community of Christ Church. Several revelations from Joseph Smith, I understand, occurred while imprisoned in Liberty before his so-called escape and journey back to Nauvoo, Illinois. It was an honor and inspiration for me several years ago to receive the Donovan Award. On a small stage, it serves as the roof to that small jail that was so significant in 1838 and 39. I'm pleased to announce tonight that longtime Liberty Councilwoman and educator will receive this Donovan Award on Saturday night, Jerene Hester, and to the strains of the Donovan March. President John F. Kennedy did a profile in Courage on Donovan, highlighting this significant time that perhaps saved the Mormon Church. Peter Lawford, JFK's brother-in-law, portrayed Donovan in a movie. When our 14-month effort asking Missouri MoDOT to name 152 Highway in honor of Alexander Donovan in Clay and Platte counties was successful, we broke with the tradition. And when I say tradition, my dad had just stepped down at that time as chairman of MoDOT, so I went in to say, here's what I'd like to do, and he says, we don't do that, we do it out on the highway. And I said, well, I want to have the ceremony in Liberty at the Alexander Donovan Elementary School. So five students, I guess fifth graders or sixth graders, Tony's son was one of them, enacted the five different facets of his life, while retired Judge Ken Elliott, with that deep baritone voice, portrayed in top hat and coat his hero Donovan. As he appeared from the back of the crowd in the parking lot, he said, thank you, boys and girls, for remembering this old soldier. You could have cut it with a knife that day. And I'll do one other thing. I bet you when we talk about Adopt a Highway, those kids will grow up to be our age. And I'd say don't mess with Donovan Highway. You're going to have a lot of interested parties. So Donovan Highway, Missouri 152, parallels Military Road, which was built in 1827. In an area that later would become Platte County. It was built by soldiers and ran from Fort Leavenworth to Berry, which is on the Clay Platte line, but was originally the former state line. Settlers built the Clay County portion from Berry to Liberty, where the main street leading to the square today is called Kansas. In 1827, Liberty, to me, was the quick trip of the day for families of the fort, both for physical and social needs. The school on the hill is there because of founder trustee Alexander Donovan. William Jewell College was created in 1849. The Baptists wanted Boonville, but Donovan had raised the money and suggested noted Columbia educator Dr. William Jewell to be the first president of the school that later would carry his name. Donovan was successful and ironically was a disciple of Christ, not a Baptist. I earlier had mentioned Donovan's father Joseph was the first teacher at Fort Boonesboro, Kentucky. Alexander Donovan served as Clay County's first commissioner of education. He served three terms in the Missouri House, 1836, 1840, and 1854. Today there's a Donovan Society at William Jewell, a Leadership Institute for the Clay County EDC, which my friend Dr. Chris Sizemore has started, the past president of William Jewell College. A town named for him, as we've heard, in Ripley County, a county in Kansas, and even a road in El Paso, Texas. Today, the Clay County Commission and the Clay County Millennium Historic Board are completing the fundraising necessary to place the Alexander W. Donovan bust in the Hall of Famous Missourians, close to his old partner, David Rice Acheson. Missouri Speaker of the House, Ron Jetton, has been most supportive in this effort. If the Civil War had not come along, Donovan probably would be a person of national prominence. However, when he turned down a high command during the Civil War and left the area to practice law and relocate in St. Louis, he fell from sight. His commitment to the Union prohibited him from taking up arms against it, and his allegiance to the friends and institutions of the South prevented him from aiding and putting down a rebellion. So in the end, he served as a state claims agent for the widows and orphans of butchered soldiers. After the war, he reestablished his law offices in Richmond, Missouri, where he died. He was a Union man who had slaves, but who believed in preserving the Union and favored neutrality from Missouri in 1861. and served as a delegate to the Washington Peace Conference, where President-elect Abraham Lincoln observed, "And this is Colonel Doniphan, who made the wild march against the Navajos and Mexicans. You're the only man I've ever met," he added, "who in appearance came up to my previous expectation." He was 6'4", muscular, imposing, with a shock of thick auburn hair. In 1909, a chapter of the DAR was named in his honor and organized in Liberty. In 1918, the state of Missouri dedicated a magnificent monument of bronze and granite at Richmond in Ray County to his memory. In 1998, Roger Launius, who's the chief historian for NASA, wrote the book Alexander William Doniphan, A Portrait of a Missouri Moderate. Governor Mel Carnahan proclaimed the Alexander Doniphan Day in Missouri on October 24, 1994, apparently on Extermination Day, 156 years later. I suggested recently to the Mormon Church that the sacred site of Far West, where the cornerstones for the temple were laid before Salt Lake became their home, that the crowded Brigham Young University consider an eastern campus carrying the name of Alexander Doniphan University. The moderation that Doniphan's life represented, according to Roger Launius, speaks to the present crisis today in American politics. As extreme positions seem increasingly to be advanced, less and less room in the middle for interchange and compromise seems possible. Doniphan was appalled by similar development in the 1850s and 1860s, and his perspective might instruct Americans today. Doniphan's career provides a useful means of exploring past perspective and political situations. As Launius observes, his life may help provide information useful in developing a paradigm shift for present action. For clearly, many of the general problems and issues with which he dealt have resurfaced in a variety of ways since his time. So as you can tell, 120 years after the death of Alexander Doniphan, I think we can say he's gone, but not forgotten. So I hope you have enjoyed learning a little bit more about Mr. Truman's cousin, Will Doniphan of Clay County. I think they would be pleased and proud of each other. Thank you all for being here tonight.
Well, I hope you enjoyed a look at a local historical hero, Alexander Doniphan. An excellent job by John Dillingham, really summarizing all the events of his life, many, many historical events. And I will include some show notes on the blog, so if you want to check out the website for the Truman Library, where this presentation was held, or the Western Missouri Civil War Roundtable, I'll include a link to their site, and then also I'll include a site if you want to find out a little bit more about Alexander Doniphan from Wikipedia. So I hope you enjoyed tonight's presentation. As always, if you'd like to leave a comment, you can leave a comment to the blog, which is at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com, or you can send me an email at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.